Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello, welcome to The Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and it's such a true joy to be here with you all today. Thank you so much for joining me to have the opportunity to communicate these incredibly inspiring messages that motivate positive change in your life. Is my honor and my joy with The Aware Show. And I want to let you know a couple things. You can check out any video interview that I'm doing on my Gaia TV show. I have a 200 shows on the network on Gaia TV, over 200, and new episodes coming out every single week. So you can check that out if you go to inspirationsongaia.com. Inspirations is the name of my show on Gaia, GAIA.com. And you can check out any of those shows there on the network. All right. So if you are inspired to set an intention, my guest today is absolutely the person that can not only show you scientifically how that works, but how it works in groups. Internationally renowned author of The Intention Experiment, Lynn McTaggart. She's joining me today to talk about her new book called The Power of Eight. And it is truly about discovering the intention, shared intention experiments. Welcome, Lynn. Thanks for joining me. Lynn is there in just a moment. Hi, Lynn. I know you're there. What we're talking about. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about healing specifically divided regions through these intention experiments that Lynn has been doing. And I adopted the philosophy, the concept of the power of eight. And it's basically eight people setting an intention on the same thing and focusing your intention on that specific thing. And it could be, I do this with eight friends of mine, eight women who are on Zoom. We get together on a Zoom call every other week and we set intentions for our group and we keep it to an hour for all eight of us. And we all eight get to experience talking about our intentions. And then all eight of us spend 2 minutes focusing on that intention, and then we share what we see, and then we move to the next person. And it's such a wonderful, incredible group because we've been, the miracles that have been created and the feeling after the end of that call, it really makes your day work. Lynn is joining us on the show. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent. I was just sharing my Power of Eight story. And we call ourselves the Power of Eight. These are eight women that I get together with every other week on Zoom and do basically what you talk about in your book. And I'd love you to share a little bit more about what people can do with the power of eight.
Well, people can do just about everything to heal their life or the life of people around them. What we've been doing is experimenting with these little groups of eight. It's group intention, I've found, no matter what the size, whether it's just eight people or it's, 25,000, seems to amplify the effect. And there's an amazing mirror effect that goes on for not only the receiver of that intention, but also the participants. That's what we've been recording over the last year and that I've been writing about in my book, which is now out in paperback. I've been setting groups up in places like the Mile High Church in Denver, and we've been just watching the incredible miracles unfold. I mean, many of those groups had healings essentially in an instant. I was witness to a couple of them where I put people into groups of eight. They set intention for one member of the group who had some sort of health challenge. We had, for instance, a woman who came in with a dislocated shoulder, and she, her pain out of 10, it was pretty much 9 or 10. And they set an intention for her, and she literally felt it slot into place. And then the pain went way down and was then very soon after non-existent. She didn't need her shoulder set. We had another woman who had a was scheduled for knee replacement. She could barely walk. Her knee was wobbling all over the place from years of overtraining in sport. And her knee, by the right after her Power of Eight group, she did a deep squat, something she hadn't been able to do for years. And ultimately, she wrote me to say that she was able to cancel her knee replacement surgery.
So it lasted.
And on and on and on. These kinds of things.
And it lasts for beyond the field and the healing. It keeps going.
Well, that's the amazing thing, too. You know, I had a real hard time with this, Lisa, because, you know, I'm an investigative reporter by background, and I just stumbled onto this whole procedure. Just trying to find out what would happen if we put people in groups, like groups of eight, and had them do a healing intention. And I started that out in 2008 in one of my workshops. And I thought it was going to be a little feel-good exercise, like getting a facial. And it was nothing like that. The next day when we had people come back in the second day of the workshop and report what was going on, we had these healings. And I've been, because I was skeptical, I've set people up for year-long Power of Eight groups, and I've monitored them over the year. I've done this for a number of years now, and as well, just at this last year, I started setting these up in these churches and just watching as things go on. And what's amazing is when people are like you and they meet regularly, I mean, I usually tell our groups to meet every single week at a set time. And what I do is I monitor what's happening in all the different areas of their life, from their relationships to their health to their finances and career, even their life's purpose. And we find that when people meet regularly, pretty much everybody has some sort of an amazing experience eventually. Something in their life starts working. And, you know, I found that, as I say, literally monitoring a group back in 2015, of the people who, I had 250 people I was monitoring, of the 150 people who met regularly, 100% of them had major life changes.
Wow. That is phenomenal. And this is just not just getting together with friends and talking. There's an intention behind it. There's a structure to it that allows you to, over time, create incredible results. And the structure is loose. You know, it's very easy. And I don't know if we're doing this right because, you know, I do this every other week. But we take time, turns, and we set our intention, each of us, and then the group spends focused time on that intention silently. And then we move to the next person. Are we omitting something? Are we doing that right?
Yeah, well, basically that's what it is. I mean, and you can meet in person. If you meet in person, you know, I tell people to hold hands in a circle. If you meet virtually, where it works just as well, most of the groups I'm describing were people who just met virtually. If they were in a master class of mine, they were put into a group and they met with people in their time zone, but they didn't live close by. Nevertheless, it worked just as well. They met on Skype or Zoom or something like that. But there are techniques. There are 12 techniques that I teach that are in my book. And one of the biggest and most important techniques is being specific. Because this is the thing that people don't really get. Intentions really work. You know, they work. The universe listens to you. The problem is, it's not just the time you're setting intention, but all the time you're beaming out like a, you know, you're a leaky bucket. Your thoughts are being emitted from you all the time and the universe is hearing it. So if you have one half-hour segment of a positive intention and the rest of the time you are basically thinking to yourself, that'll never come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look how you muffed that one. And all of that other negative self-talk we go through, that's going to be what the universe hears. But the other problem I find is that people make these big general intentions. They make the equivalent of world peace. You know, I want world peace. I want my life to be happy and fulfilled. Or I want to win the lottery. Or something like that, where it's a very general intention. It's maybe not what you need. It's like the ultimate, like winning the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is the universe usually gives you what you need. You know, if you need $2,000.36, that's what you'll get when you do an intention.
Wow.
You know,
amazing.
It listens to what you need. When I've monitored my people over months, particularly the people who have had financial challenges, what ended up happening often was windfalls that were exactly what they needed.
I read the afterword in the paperback version, and it is story after story after story of this happening. And you obviously got permission to put their stories in there, and it is absolutely incredible. But one of the most phenomenal ones is the intention experiment that you did with the groups in the Middle East. And I'd love you to share that with us.
Yeah, we had an idea to do this because I had done an intention experiment for the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And what happened was I worked with a guy called Dr. Salah al-Rashid, who is like the Deepak of the Middle East. He's got a big following. And we put together Muslims as well as Americans and people from my Western audience from around the globe. And we set an intention for two southern provinces of Afghanistan. And it looks like we had some sort of effect. I mean, when we looked at the NATO data afterward, it looked like there was a lowering of violence in just those two provinces. That was, you know, incredible, unprecedented, et cetera. But what I noticed was something even more interesting, which was that the Muslims and Americans were getting together on my Facebook page, and they were befriending each other. And then ultimately, they were starting to forgive each other for 9/11. Mm. It was just amazing. So that gave me an idea. And I had the opportunity to work with an Israeli documentary maker who wanted me to do an intention experiment for the Middle East. So again, I called on Dr. Al-Rashid, who has a studio in southern England that enables you to beam into nine different locations. You put a camera in different nine different places, auditoriums, conference rooms. And so what he had was cameras in eight different Arab countries, in countries all through the Gulf states. So we had Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Oman and Bahrain, etc. And then the ninth camera was in an auditorium in Israel filled with Israeli Jews. So we had audiences of Arabs in all those countries and Jews. Mm. And also my audience around the globe, we beamed this out live on my YouTube channel. And so everybody in all of those audiences of the Arabs and Jews could see me, but also I could call on any group, and they would then become beamed to every other group. So it was like this totally interactive thing. They could talk to me, I could talk to them. So we decided to do an intention to lower violence in an area of the old city of Jerusalem, which was plagued by violence. So I led everybody in this intention, all together, the Arabs, the Jews, my audience around the world. And afterward, I started asking the Arabs and the Jews how that was for them. And they started, it was amazing. It was just historic, it felt like. Everyone was crying, Jews and Arabs. The Arabs were saying to the Jews, we love you. The Jews were saying to the Arabs, your God is my God.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone
wow.
was joining hands, et cetera. Now, to appreciate this, you have to realize that both sides have grown up believing the other side has horns coming out of their head.
Right,
they're
taught yes.
from a young age to hate each other.
Oof.
Nevertheless, they were all calling for peace. They were saying, it's enough, it's time of peace and healing, etc. And it was just amazing to me because it made me realize that the real power in these intention experiments isn't even the outcome of the intention. That's nice. You know, and we did get data looking at Jerusalem, and it looked like we lowered violence, even though there was all that stuff about the movement of the American embassy to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
There was some more violence in Gaza, but not in Jerusalem. Violence really went down. But that wasn't really the point. The point was that the participation and what happened, the big rebound effect that happened to the participants, enabling their hearts to leap across the fence.
That, and it's beautiful. You can see that on YouTube, and I love that. You can look up Lynn McTaggart intention experiment, and you can see the one that she did. Now, you had a specific intention with that, and I think it was to lower violence 10%, right? And that's
mm-hmm.
important because you gave a percentage to the intention, and that's what you're talking about as being specific.
It's so important to tell the universe, you know, as a journalist, you'll appreciate this, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell everybody to use the 5 W's and H, which is what they tell journalists like me to put in their first paragraph of any story. Who, what, when, where, how, and why. And the how is the H.
Mm-hmm.
So it's who, what, when, where, why, and how. So when you make an intention, if you use those as a guide, it will help you be a little more specific. But as I say, if you want to heal somebody, specify where and what. You know, is it? A lot of people think, oh no, leave it general and let the universe handle it. But that's a lot more like prayer, which is basically saying to God, "Thy will be done. You decide." Here, you're actually putting a request into the universe, and it's really important that you explain exactly what, or the universe will try to figure out what you want and give you what it thinks you want. And that may not be exactly what you desire. So it's important to just tell the universe what you want. And, you know, if someone's in pain, you send the intention and it's the first toe of their right foot,
uh-huh.
you say, you know, our intention is to heal, you know, the big toe of Jane Doe's right foot, you know,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, et cetera. And the same thing with career, you know, what kind of career? When do you want it? What's your optimum salary? You know, all of that kind of thing. And I over and over again have people in my master classes who ask for silly things that aren't anywhere near what they really desire. They just think, well, if I ask for the moon, then that will be really good. But that's not what you need to do. You need to specify exactly if you want to meet somebody, what kind of person? What do they look like? What kind of thing are they? You know, what's their job? Mention their astrological sign. You know, give the universe a real specific idea of what you want.
So that's a great point because it's also a part of disbelief if you say, I'll take the moon and anything less is fine because you're basically saying it's not happening. Or if you say, I want $100,000 and then you think of all the things that are wrong with your life, that's going to cancel it out. And these are very common thought patterns. I want this one thing, and then your mind drifts and says, well, here's why I can't have it, and this is what's wrong, and this person's bothering me, and this I have an agreement with, and it just, monkey mind takes over, and it just cancels out. And I've tried this before, because I've done this myself, and I've listened to the monkey mind come in, and I know enough then to set a specific time on my, you know, timer on my phone or whatever, and say, for these 10 minutes, I am only going to allow this one thought and this one intention to encompass every thought. And it would, my mind would start to wander, I'd pull it back. And if it would start to wander, I'd pull it back. And I realize how many times, the first few times you do that, you realize how many times your mind wanders and you realize why you're not getting what you want because it is you canceling it out unconsciously, pattern habitually. then you start to train yourself. Yeah.
Absolutely. And one of the real tricks, too, is to get how much of a leaky bucket you are for all those other 23 and a half hours of your day, too. And the thing is that intentions go on. You know, the universe is always listening, and you're always broadcasting. So one of the important things also is to try to get a grip on what you're broadcasting all the rest of the time. I mean, that's one of the things that I work on a lot. And a lot of times people are broadcasting their past, or they're broadcasting that sense of lack of entitlement, mm-hmm. of scarcity, of something. Maybe it started in their past where they assume that they aren't good enough, they're not good at, they're not something. So one of the fun things that we do, and I talk about in the book too, is retro-intention, where I take people back to the time that it happened and have them not change what happened, but change their response to what happened. So they replay. It's a little replay that they do.
Of
and
what?
It's remarkable what ends up happening.
What do you look? Are you looking at an event that already happened?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah,
an example. What's
and
an example?
Just going back and dealing with it. And again, a lot of people talk about, oh, well, let's change what happened. I don't do that. What mm-hmm. I do is change the person's response to what happened.
What's an example of something like that? Can you think of one?
Sorry?
An example.
Well, simple ones, like suppose you were 7 years old or 8 years old and you were at school and your teacher, everybody else was getting some sort of mathematical equation right. You know, they were adding up and they were getting it all right and you weren't. And the teacher was listing on the board all the kids who got the gold stars and you didn't have that. And in fact, the teacher said something about, well, you're not very good at this, are you? And that just set up a thought mm-hmm. pattern in your head that stayed there all this time and actually maybe even governed how you think about yourself in relation to money, in relation to your ability to just deal with any kind of mathematical anything. May have just even pushed you off a path of something that maybe you developed a skill in.
Wow.
That's happened a lot. I mean, Sam Keen is a philosopher, and his mother, when he was little, I guess he tried to change a plug or something like that and didn't do it very well when he was young. And his mother happened to say something about how he wasn't really good at engineering-type things, mechanical things. So he assumed that, grew up, became a philosopher. When he was a grown-up, he took some sort of aptitude test having to do with engineering and scored off the charts genius.
Wow.
Now, he probably is a really good philosopher, but I wonder how many inventions we have been deprived of because Sam's mom told him he wasn't good at mechanical things.
And how
it's that kind of imprinting.
Yes.
And we go back and deal with your response at the time. And it's remarkable what happens to people going forward. So that's another little thing that we work on. But the point is that you are broadcasting, and oftentimes you're broadcasting your past.
I think that's a huge thing, Lynn. Here's an example. If somebody did something to hurt you, you can't set an intention on that person to be hurt or to get what they deserve. You have to, as you specifically said, change your experience of it, looking at it from a different perspective, maybe from, 30 years later and saying, well, had that not happened, I wouldn't have been as passionate about this or a voice for change or this, why, X, Y, and Z. That's very important. Can you comment on what I said about you can't set a bad intention towards someone else? It's pretty important.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the number of people who ask me to remove the current president, for instance.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
And that kind of thing. I won't get into that sort of thing. I don't do negative intentions. I teach people how to overcome negative intentions and bulletproof ways to deal with negativity around them. One of the things that I found is very effective, when you have somebody who is being very negative to you, instead of trying to do a retaliation thing, send them positive intention. and watch what happens to them. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, we do a lot of this kind of thing in my workshops, where we deal with overcoming divides. And that's one of the big things that I like to do with the big intention experiments, but also with these Power of Eight groups, that you can find ways to connect with even the people who are really not like you. I mean, there's some really interesting science around this, Lisa, showing that when people are involved in some sort of altruistic activity, and that's what happens within Power of Eight groups, it activates a thing in their nervous system called the vagus nerve, biggest nerve in the body. And what happens with that is not only is it a feel-good nerve, and it helps in the release of oxytocin, makes you feel compassionate, et cetera, and loving, but it also makes people connect with people who are not like them. Hmm. So mm-hmm. one of the things that's so powerful about these Power of Eight groups is it makes people more compassionate, more loving, more tolerant. And that explains why the Middle Eastern people suddenly started sending love to each other. It's this selfless act that just turns on all of that system in your body that's not only good for you, but it's good for the world.
So what is an intention that we could set, since you're the expert intention setter, on the healing of America? I'm taking it broad here, but there's a lot happening right now with the news breaking and the sexual harassment and the cases that, you know, are being won after multiple accusers. I mean, there is history being made right now. And a lot of people need to feel that they are heard. So there's mm-hmm. a lot happening right now. And I'm not talking politically necessarily. Yep. I'm talking about morality. The morality of America.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what we're trying to do. We're doing a little pilot intention experiment in mid-October. I'm working with a group in Pinellas County in Florida, and they have a very large group who are involved in things like intention, and they've even measured them with scientific equipment. They're really involved with this stuff. So we decided we wanted to do an intention with them to lower violence. But I said, look, I don't want to just do it with you, because Florida is a purple state, and all of these people in this group are probably Democrats. So I said, I'd like you to invite a bunch of Republicans from a more traditional church, more conservative church, to come and do this with you. And we'll have set a common intention that everybody agrees on. Lowering violence in Pinellas County. You know, they could all agree on that. So, or something like that. And watch what happens when they're all together in the same room, setting an intention together. Watch what happens between the two. And so for me, it's not even about the intention. It's about the participation that will heal America. And, you know, it's what's happening with this is, the altruism thing, which was a big piece of the healing in these Power of Eight groups. When I tried to figure out why is this healing people in an instant, doing it for someone else is a big, big piece of it. There's something about that that is amazingly healing to the sender, not just the recipient. And as I said before, there's something healing about making it, we become more tolerant when we're involved in something like this. So I want to see what happens to those Democrats and Republicans in that situation, and I'd like to roll it out big time. And
amazing.
Really,
yeah.
And I have some big plans for a giant intention experiment in November and also next spring. So, you know, people can join in, by the way. All of my intention experiments are completely free for everybody to join in. They just have to be part of my community and sign up on my website, lynnmctaggart.com. But what I'd like to do, and I'm starting to get audiences that are deliberately planning to have Republicans and Democrats there together doing this intention together.
Huh.
And, you know, a big piece is just finding a bigger goal that everybody can agree on. And that's what I keep working on is this whole idea of, you know, don't focus on the differences, focus on the common things. And Republicans and Democrats have the same values in the main. You know, we all want safe schools. We all want our children to be safe. We all want, you know, good roads and good hospitals and all of that stuff, enough food on the table, a decent place to live. And so it's really about bringing people back to a bigger goal that everybody can share.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And it's interesting. I wonder if you could do it in a heated environment where it's like the NRA and the non-NRA, or for gun control and against gun control. If there's anything that you could do where there's a heated environment, or would it have to be when the heat is off of it? I wonder if you've ever tried.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of times I have people who get together in my workshops. I divide the class in half, and I have half of the people, let's say it's abortion, half of the people who are for abortion, you know, are for free choice on one side, and half of the people who are anti-abortion on the other side, and I have them pair up. So one pro and one con are together in, you know, and there are pairs of all of them. And I have them do things like set a positive intention while the other person is talking about why they believe what they believe, and have the person listen to why they believe what they believe. And it's so powerful. That positive intention just seems to take all the heat out of it. Hmm. But the other thing, too, is if we had pro and anti-NRA people together, I wouldn't have them concentrate on gun control. I'd have them concentrate on something totally different.
Like what?
Lowering violence. That's something everybody can agree on.
Okay, very good.
Not the how, just the what. And then watch what happens to them. But over and over, what I've seen is that miracles happen when people come together with a common intention, and they, you know, it allows the heart to leap across the fence and reach across the aisle in this case.
It's got to be just beautiful to watch, and I'm really glad that you put that specific one on YouTube. But I want to ask you, what is your bigger, like if your wildest dream with this, Lynn, what would you love to see on a massive scale? What's your huge goal with it?
Well, I think right now the biggest goal I have is healing these big divisions. So doing these intention experiments and involving people who are enemies and having them come together and seeing what happens. Mm. Then I would love to see people come together and start dealing with some of the major, major problems facing us. You know, climate change issues, things like that.
Yes.
And
yes.
Watch what happens, too, to the participants. Because, again, the biggest surprise for me in doing the intention experiments, but also the Power of Eight groups, was not the receivers, but the senders, and what was happening over and over again, this amazing mirror effect that happened. When people were intending for peace, their lives become more peaceful.
Yes.
You know, they start getting along better with people and making up with estranged relatives and hugging strangers, basically. And with Power of Eight groups, I mean, the most amazing stories, I think, in the book have to do with the people who were just the senders, people like Wes Chapman, who was a Vietnam vet who was suffering from depression. He was a sender. He thought somebody else was more deserving because she had cancer. So he was doing an intention for her, even though his life had been really difficult. He got drafted while he was at university. When he was at college, he was meant to be a doctor or a biochemist, and that all got derailed when he was sent to Vietnam in the last chaotic days of the war. And it was so traumatic for him. It essentially just sent him in a downward spiral where he was for years. He had maybe one bright spot in his life, his second marriage, but mm-hmm. that ended when she got a fast-growing cancer.
Oof.
And by the time I met him, he got to 65, and he was really feeling, what's the use?
Yes.
You know, and he was living in senior facility, and it was hard for him to even make breakfast. So he just lost the point. So he was involved in this one intention in Power of Eight group, sending intention to this woman with cancer. The next day he wakes up and it's like he had had a mystical experience. All of his senses were magnified. Everything in the world looked so beautiful. You know, the grass was greener, all that kind of stuff. But then what was more amazing was the next night he had a dream that he met his 19-year-old self on campus at that university he had been to. And it was almost like a vision, more like a vision than a dream, a very lucid dream, where the 19-year-old self said to the 65-year-old self, "Don't worry, there's still time." It was a feeling he had. He didn't say that in words, but that was his feeling. And Wes became completely changed. It was shocking what happened to him. He was so revitalized. He felt like, hey, I get to do it all over again, even at 65. And I can combine his youthful optimism with my wisdom and experience. And the last I talked to him, he was power walking for 90 minutes.
Wow.
Weights. He was writing. He was really involved in his church, doing Power of Eight groups.
I love that.
He completely rediscovered his life.
And that you can do this at any age. It doesn't matter with any group, any background, any place in the world. And I encourage people to join one of these intention experiments that Lynn McTaggart is doing. They're never a cost. It's always free. Go to Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, McTaggart, McTaggart.com. And you can sign up for the newsletter. She'll let you know what intention experiments are going on. You can do this virtually. You can. It's just pure cohesive and coherent thought patterns. And this is measured over and over again with these coherence meters. And it's just fascinating work that's being done around the world in the name of real, true, lasting healing and peace. Thank you so much, Lynn. Fascinating information. I love what you're doing in the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We will talk very soon. And I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with my next guest, who also has an amazing vision for the world called Worlds with a Z.com. Check that out. We'll be right back. I'm Lisa Garr. You're listening to The Aware Show.